Blog Talk Radio.
The Funk Soul Brother, check it out now.
Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to a very special edition of the CNC Football Factory. I am your host, CJ DeSimone, and I am joined, as always, by my partner in crime, my right-hand man, and everything else, Carlos the Cuban Chrome Sardinas. What's going on, Carlos?
So that intro was a great remix of Fatboy Slim, and the first thing that popped in my head when I saw the words Fatboy Slim was Rex Ryan. That's actually a perfect description of his features right now. He was a fat boy. He's now slim, and he's just kind of in that in-between zone. So, anyways, well, it's bye week this week, which is nice because the Jets get to have some rest. I'm sure they're not at Dave and Buster's like they were last year during their bye week. But
nope,
they're also coming off a win over in the UK against Miami, an impressive victory, where we took the heart and soul out of Miami to the point where I think we were the straw that broke the camel's back and got Joe Philbin fired.
Yeah, I definitely believe that. I mean, if I could be a fly on the wall for that entire conversation between Joe Philbin and Mike Tannenbaum, I was just surprised that he didn't just phone over to London and just say, you know what, dude, don't even come back to the States. We'll just mail you your clothes. Just stay over there.
But here's Joe Philbin talking to Mike Tannenbaum. Mike, I would, but nobody here in the UK wants me to stick around. They're all either Jets fans or pissed off Dolphins fans. No one will take me in. I'll be homeless and on the street. And so they let him come back over to the U.S. And
nice.
Then they talk to him and everything. I don't want to spend a ton of time on the whole Philbin thing. I think that's probably been overdone and just, you know, the generic media where everyone knows he got fired. They brought in Dan Hitman Campbell, who looks like Rambo over there. Actually, you know what he really looks like? I saw a picture of this. Was I don't know if you've seen the new episodes lately. It started off this year, and they have a new principal, and it's called the PC principal. And he's basically a meathead, but he's all about being politically correct, and it's a whole frat boy. Kind of, they make fun of it. He looks identical to PC Principal on South Park, Dan Campbell. Like, he is PC Principal. Hey, bro, what you got, bro? That's not PC, bro. Anyway. So,
wow.
Yeah, man, what you got? Anyway, but yeah, that's going on with the Dolphins. I want to talk about the actual game a little bit because there was a lot of good things to like. Let's start with offensively. Chris Ivory got going in a major way that week off. Kind of helped him out, and he ran all over the Dolphins all game long. Frankly, they fed him a lot, but they probably could have fed him more, but you want to keep him healthy when it's starting to get to become a blowout. So Chris Ivory was definitely impressive. Brandon the Machine Marshall was great. He started off the game with like a 40-50-yard bomb where he just went up and grabbed the ball right over Brent Grimes' head. And Brandon Marshall was a beast all game, too. Eric Decker was impressive. The offensive line, this is the one I'm really the most impressed with, was Brian Winters and how he stepped in for Willie Colon. And, I mean, he looked better than Colon. He looked better than anything I ever expected, Brian Winters. He was blowing up Sue. He was blowing up that line on the runs, good pass protection. What do you think, you know, about the offense there?
Well, I have to say one thing. I do. If there's we haven't done this in a couple weeks, but definitely my NewYorkJetsFans.com player of the game. You got to give. There's two of them going out today. Okay, one of them is going out to Chris Ivory. 29 carries, 166 yards for the game. I mean, a new career rushing high. If there was any question to his health, that this game should definitely quiet any concerns or any questions about whether or not Chris Ivory is healthy or not. That's first off. Second off, the other game ball going to Brian Winters, stepping in rather admirably for Willie Colon. I think that if he can continue this level of play throughout the year, and nobody really knows how long Willie Colon is going to be sidelined, but if he continues this play, and I mean especially he drew the toughest assignment of all, having to block and contain Ndamukong Suh. And if you really took a look at those offensive line battles throughout the course of the game, he essentially owned Ndamukong Suh. Plain and simple. You're Miami's $125 million man got shut down, okay, like the little kid who's going up against the big bully, and the big bully just takes his hand and just puts it on his forehead and just stretches out his arm, and the little kid is like waving his arms trying to get a hold of something on him, and he just can't reach him.
Definitely. And
Brian Winters essentially just yeah, Brian Winters essentially just manhandled him.
But here's one thing I will say. Let's not discount the fact that the Dolphins have looked like a complete crap for 2 weeks straight. You know, some of that is also the Dolphins being as bad as they are. Now, I'm not taking away anything from the win, but, you know, I can't expect something dominating like that to happen every single week, because they basically look like they mailed it in before they ever even gotten to London. So,
Well, I do have to say this, okay? Look, the Jets coming off a huge, you know, a really, really tough loss at the hands of Philadelphia, a team that they are still winless against in the regular season. And essentially, despite the fact that how piss poor Philadelphia played and the fact that the Jets probably could have come back and won that game in the second half because Sam Bradford is just atrocious, okay? And, I mean, you know, they don't have LeSean McCoy. They got DeMarco Murray back there. I mean, essentially it was the, you know, it was the Darren Sproles show, okay, and the Matthews brothers show, all right? Essentially, those three players single-handedly beat the Jets the following week. So the Jets needed to have a bounce-back week, and especially if you take a look at all the adversity, you have to go and take a long flight. You're playing in an unknown stadium. This is your first time going overseas, okay, and playing over there. You know, you're representing the AFC East. It's a divisional battle. It is technically a Dolphins home game. So you had a lot of things stepped up, you know, stacked up against the Jets. Okay, now, I don't want to take anything away from Miami. I mean, Miami, just to be honest with you, in the offseason, there was a lot of hype surrounding them. Their defense was going to be great. Their offense was finally going to be great. And we just essentially proved that that team is nothing more than a joke. Okay.
Well, we did, but they're coming off. Just as you're saying the Jets are facing all this, the Dolphins are facing even worse coming into London. They got blown out by Rex Ryan and the Bills at home. I mean, it was embarrassing, the game before this one. Much more embarrassing than anything we put together against the Eagles.
Right.
They also had the same things to go through. But I'm saying I think they played. They lost to Jacksonville. They almost got beat by the Redskins. They've been bad all year. I mean, this is a bad team. This is like bottom five of the league bad right now.
Right.
We should have handled
this
them.
Right. Well, that's the point. Thank you for making the point for me. Is that this is a game that the Jets needed to prove that you have that, you still have that killer instinct, and just like we had said against Cleveland, Cleveland was a dumpster fire all offseason. Started the season out against them, and these are games that you should win, okay? But essentially, following the old adage, you know, the trap game, this could also have been a trap game as well. Now, there's a trap game coming up next week against the Washington Redskins team, which looks a little bit schizophrenic, to say the least, okay? Now, the Jets historically have not been good off of the bye. Okay, we have the infamous Dave and Buster's incidents, which happened, you know, 2 years ago.
Well,
okay,
let's preface that. Rex Ryan has not been good off the bye, one and five in his 6 years here. That coach hasn't been bad. We don't know how Coach Bowles is going to approach the bye here. And, you know, you hear the term trap game mentioned a lot. I think I've heard it three times now, like, this season. So we've had, like, three trap games. So the Eagles was a trap game, and then the Dolphins are a trap game, and now the Redskins are. I mean, they're preparing for each one of these games. I understand the we're going to look and see New England week seven, but I don't think that's how this coaching staff and this team is approaching the season. I think, if anything, they're trap games in mostly fans' minds more than anything else.
Well, I can't disagree with that because, I mean, you know, you take a look at the parity around the league. All right, if you've taken a look at last week's scores, okay, alone, so some teams that just had no business winning actually came out there and won. I mean, who could have saw the Falcons beating the Cowboys in overtime? Okay, who could have saw the Ravens coming back and winning that game on Thursday Night Football against, you know, against the Steelers? You know, traditionally, who they've had some relative success. I mean, Raven Steelers games are always tough games anyway. But you saw quite a bit of surprises, okay? And I think as the year goes on, you're going to continually see that trend increase. But nevertheless, I like the way that Todd Bowles is handling his approach and how the team is preparing. They're preparing one game at a time, one step at a time, one focus at a time, where we've seen coaches in the past, much like the jackass that's up in Buffalo right now, say, oh, well, we're not worried about these teams. We're worried about New England, or we're worried about this team, or we're worried about that team, or we're worried about the other team. So one of the things that you don't see with this New York Jets team that you've seen in the past is them overlooking opponents. And it just seems like that now Todd Bowles has really, really got this squad locked in and focused. Now, I do want to go back to the Miami game a little bit for a second, because you and I both know there were some issues with that game that pissed the both of us off.
Well, hold on.
Okay?
Before you get to the bad, we still have more good. I mean,
okay,
we still have the defense. How can we not look at how dominating the entire front seven was? The secondary was smothering. Ryan Tannehill was reeling the entire game, and it really fell apart in the second half. Outside of basically the refs handing Miami a touchdown with one out of two were questionable pass interference calls, which basically handed Miami a touchdown. You could argue that two of them were.
I could argue that three of them were. Three of them were. Okay, because first off, Darrell Revis, the first one, which was the 58-yarder, that ended up essentially handing, you know, Miami 7 points. That was not pass interference because Revis in no way, shape, or form, okay? Then there was also pass interference on Antonio Cromartie, okay, which was another 40-something yards, okay?
Right.
That was garbage, too, because there was incidental contact. The receiver and the cornerback were battling from the moment the ball was snapped. There was contact all the way down the field. Okay? So the fact that that was called pass interference was just absolutely unbelievable. Then Buster Screen's pass interference flag, okay, in the end zone was absolute and total bullshit. Okay? Because Buster Screen did a classic. He made a play on the ball. He got his hand on top of his hand. He was trying to impede the receiver from catching the ball, which is what you're supposed to do in tight situations like that. As long as the league rule says cornerbacks and safeties, anyone in the defensive secondary, as long as you are making a play on the ball and you do not intentionally touch the receiver, it's not a flag. They essentially handed out of the five pass interference plays, there were three of them that were bullshit that accounted for the majority of the yards that the Jets were penalized. Okay, yeah, there was some offensive holding. there was some, you know, bad blocks and so on and so forth. You're going to get that in every single game. But you know what? Those the three out of the five were just absolutely completely inexcusable, and two out of those led to the 14 points that the Dolphins scored. Essentially,
if you think about it, the Jets should have won this game
40 to nothing.
At the point where Buster Skrine had committed that penalty, it was already – I mean, yes, I know it was also a BS call, but they already gotten to essentially the one-yard line with the previous two. So I guess I was just discounting the Skrine one because I figured they were going to knock it in anyway. But, yeah, you're right. Those three, absolutely. I definitely agree with that. A few figures here from the Miami Dolphins game before we move on. I just wanted to highlight Ryan Fitzpatrick, 16 for 29, 218, a touchdown, an interception, quarterback rating 76.5. Chris Ivory ran for 166 yards on 29 carries, and old Fitzmagic running for 34. You saw him actually scrambling a little bit to pick up a couple key first downs, which we have not seen yet. So good for him. Brandon Marshall, 7 for 128, no touchdowns. Eric Decker did have a touchdown, and remember heading into that game, we didn't even know if he was going to play. It was truly a 50-50, comes in 4 for 46 and a touchdown. Just looking at the Jets, we had quite a few sacks. Mo with two. David Harris had a sack. But we outside of the sacks – oh, and Damon Harrison also had a sack. Snacks had a sack. Snacks has a sack. Oh, gosh, that doesn't sound right. Anyway. But outside of those four sacks, we were in Ryan Tannehill's face right up the middle all game. We were just harassing him. I mean, towards the end, it just looked like he was chucking it up and praying that it went out of bounds. So, I mean, great job by the defense, the secondary. Everyone did great. Prior wrapping up and tackling, the Dolphins could get nothing going. So I wanted to credit the defense with just an outstanding performance. So now let's get to the ugly, man. You wanted to talk a little about a couple things that you had issues with. So let's talk about that.
Well, one thing definitely is penalties, although the fact that, you know, there were several, should I say, okay, and I'm actually being mild about it, there were several that were counted, okay? 11 penalties, an entirely amount of 11 penalties with almost 200 yards of penalized yardage, not good. They need to clean that up a little bit more.
We just said that
that was one.
That was BS. I mean, we know that.
That's true. But
I mean, three of those.
But I have to say, now
this
is
that's a total of 100 yards. So you're talking about 8-1. I don't even count those pass interferences. I don't, because they're garbage. They're garbage.
So, and think of this over here. Okay, now the ugly. This ugly is going to go on the Miami Dolphins side. Okay, and I think this is quite fitting of how their season is. Okay, going to go back to the fourth quarter. They had four downs. They ended up getting a pass interference. They ended up getting a holding call or some BS holding call, which gave them a new set of downs. Eight downs with goal to go, and the Dolphins still could not punch it into the end zone. That is just completely and utterly pathetic. Pathetic. Okay? On their part.
Oh, yeah.
That also says a testament. That's also a huge testament to the Jets' goal line defense. And if you want to emulate so far what the first four games, taking a look at the Jets being 3-1, go back to that drive. Like you said, you gave a lot of credit to the front seven. You want to see how really good this front seven is? Take a look at that series, those eight snaps. Okay, with goal to go, the Dolphins still couldn't punch it into the end zone.
Oh, and here's one thing. Correct myself, because I had said we had four sacks. We only had three sacks. I was counting a tackle for loss from Snacks as a sack. We actually had four tackles for loss on top of the three sacks. Sorry, CJ, go ahead.
All right, so now, here's the best part about it is that this defense is not 100% yet. We get Sheldon Richardson back, okay, against the Redskins. So you know that Sheldon, he may not be starting the game. He may be getting, you know, getting mixed into different defensive packages just to make sure, because I'm sure that he's probably been keeping himself in shape, you know, and getting himself ready. Fans are getting excited, but just imagine how much more potent this defensive front is going to be with Sheldon Richardson back in that lineup.
Absolutely.
It's amazing. You know, and the thing is that, you know, when you take a look at the Jets defensively right now, they're already a top five unit in the league. And they're not even at 100%. Once they become 100%, I have absolutely no doubt whatsoever. Then when week 7 comes around, okay, granted, we still have a couple games to go before we have to get to New England. When week 7 comes around and the Jets square off against New England, that I can guarantee you, those two games right now, depending upon how that game goes, are going to be the games of the year for the Jets. I really do. Because I think that defense is going to want to get after Tom Brady, and they are just going to want to rip him to shreds. I really do. And I think it's coming.
Absolutely.
It's coming.
Yeah, well, we have a game before
like I
that.
Said, we have
a game before right. that. One more. It's the Redskins, and it's not – you can look at the Redskins and say, "Oh yeah, look what a shit show." I mean, they've hung tough in games. They beat Philly last.
No, they
week.
Have. That's why I said
don't.
That.
They've been
right. Well,
a
that's...
good run defense. Their pass defense is horrible, but the run defense is pretty decent. Their offense is
right,
not
exactly.
efficient
well,
at
that's
all,
the reason why I said that
done.
This team is incredibly schizophrenic because there are times that the Redskins have looked very efficient on offense. They've been able to move the ball. They've been able to move the ball on some very tough defenses. I mean, the Redskins have not had no picnic coming out of the gate. You know, and Kirk Cousins, for a lot of the garbage that he's taken over there, he's actually looked pretty good. And he actually knows how to get rid of the ball under pressure. So it's going to be a challenge, you know, for the Jets to get after him. Do I think that the Jets can dominate this game again? Absolutely.
Yeah,
but
I do.
A lot of things
I
have to break right their way. You know, if it's actually going to happen, because remember, Kirk Cousins, he can run. He's a mobile quarterback. He does not make a ton of mistakes with the ball, but he can be pressured into making some bad throws at inopportune times. But
I
still,
think their
you know,
strengths play into our strengths and their weaknesses play into our strengths. Here's what I mean by that. They want to run the ball a lot. And if we could clean up the run defense, like it looks like we did against Miami, as long as we don't have a repeat of what happened with Philly, or an Indy, really.
Right.
If we could clean up that run defense, that will be stopping their main strength. And then even if DeSean Jackson's back and with Pierre Garçon there, you don't know what's going to go on with Jordan Reed, but they have another tight end named Derek Carrier that they traded for that they really like, who used to be wide receiver. That's actually – the Jordan Reed or Derek Carrier position is probably the one I'm most worried about because it's over the middle. And, you know, it's typically been where we've been susceptible. But our front seven
right.
could absolutely dominate their front line in pass protection. There's nothing special there. Our corners can hang with anybody, you know, and we could get into Kirk Cousins' face and force that four interception type game. So and conversely, I think we could definitely take the top off of them with Devin Smith and Marshall and Decker. They can't cover
right.
anybody. Forget just our wide receiver group. They can't cover any wide receiver group. So as long as Ryan Fitzpatrick plays within himself, yeah, I think we've got a good chance. This is a game we should win, but by no means, you know, don't look past it. I agree with you. But it's something we should dominate. Again, we'll actually
right,
really
exactly.
preview this next week. So that's just a little bit on the Redskins and Dolphins. We're not going to get too much into it. Just a little
right.
mini preview of what to expect. Their defensive mm-hmm. pass rush is nothing to sneeze at either. So, you know. It's going to be an interesting
right,
game.
Right, exactly. Yeah, our offensive line is definitely going to have their work cut out for them against the Redskins. The Redskins have a believe it or not, they don't get enough credit for their pass rush. They have two end rushers over there on both sides that can collapse, and they've got a couple cornerbacks that are actually good on the safety blitzes. So, you know, again, it's going to all be, if just to reiterate what you said, if Ryan Fitzpatrick can play within himself, and not try to, you know, feed it to Brandon Marshall in triple coverage like we tried to do against Philadelphia, I think we'll be okay. I think that the Jets could very well get a win against this Redskins team because, again, you know, when I say the term schizophrenic, you know, I don't mean like everybody on the team is crazy. I say that as there are times where this team looks very, very efficient on offense and also on defense. And if they get a good momentum swing going, the Jets just cannot commit any kind of stupid penalties that will essentially open the door for the Redskins to jump in, because like we reiterated before, the Redskins have actually hung tough in a lot of these games that they've played. So they haven't really been blown out. They've been keeping the scores very close. You know, a lot of credit to Jay Gruden over there. So the Jets are going to have their work cut out for them, but I think it'll still be a good test, you know, for them before they go on week 7 to face New England.
Yep. So one quick thing I wanted to hit on, because apparently, and I don't want to spend too much time on it because, frankly, it already gets enough time and it's not even warranted. It's not even worth discussing, but I wanted to just point out a couple things. I still see some Jets fans that are clamoring for Geno Smith. You know who you are. I'm not even going to mention you by name. Even though Ryan Fitzpatrick has led us to 3-1, has he been great? No. But has he been better than what Geno was last year through 4 games? Yes. Absolutely. Just through 4 games, Ryan Fitzpatrick, he's avoided a ton of sacks. I think he's only been sacked once this year. Through 4 games, Geno Smith was sacked so many times I couldn't even count it because he hung on to the ball too long. Never mind you the lack of generating offense, generating any kind of sustainable drives. I understand that there's a difference in personnel, but let me tell you what, it's not that much different on offense. It's not. What's different on offense? Brandon Marshall. That's it.
I really
that's
don't.
That's what's different.
Yeah, essentially, as far as the whole, you know, clamoring for Geno Smith and so on and so forth, look, the Jets are 3-1. Let's just be happy with being 3-1, okay?
Yeah.
Ryan Fitzpatrick has come in and has done an incredible job as a quarterback. If there's a need to put Geno in, if Fitzpatrick starts struggling and so on and so forth, and he's making bad decisions, you can bet your ass that Todd Bowles will pull the plug on Ryan Fitzpatrick and throw Geno Smith in there. Until that time comes, sit back, shut up, and enjoy the ride.
Yes,
that's my
theory.
That's it.
No, we don't even know how to handle success, this fan base, which just drives me crazy.
Right.
Like, we're 3-1. We got to find something to complain about. So let's make a case for putting in Geno Smith, because Fitzpatrick's arm, surprise, surprise, isn't all that long. We knew that. Everyone knew that. And I get that Geno
probably does
have more raw talent.
You know,
but guess what? He had his chance. He's not in there now. Fitzpatrick's leading the team. He's doing a good job. His only bad game, if you really think about it, he was without Chris Ivory and Eric Decker. Devin Smith making his first start. Jeremy Curley was basically the master of the 3-yard out. I mean, yeah, they had a tough time, but the entire team had a tough time. If you look at Fitzpatrick now, he's leading this team early down the field. It's night and day. Yes, you can make the argument about Chan Gailey and how it's a, you know, and Chan Gailey is this great fossil that has all this wisdom on the offense. But, you know, it's honestly not a ton different than Marty Morningweg's system. The only difference is Chan Gailey knows how to call a game, and Marty Morningweg is so stupid, even though he thinks he's so smart, he can't get out of his own way.
Right, exactly. So all right, Carlos, we're coming up against it over here. So let's, for final thoughts real quick, do you want to give a prediction for Jets Redskins, or you want to save it for next week?
No, there's too many variables out there. I mean, DeSean Jackson hurt, Jordan Reed hurt on the Jets. We still have some guys that need to rest up. So let's save it for next week.
Yeah, that sounds like a plan. All right, so to all the listeners, just want to make you guys aware, we have been dropping podcasts on SoundCloud.com. Be sure to go and check them out. Also, you want to email the show, get questions on the show, cncfootballfactory@gmail.com. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter, @CNCJetsFactor, my partner in crime, @CSSSardinas, myself, @JetsFan0523. Again, this has been the CNC Football Factory, and we are taking it away. We'll see you guys next week.
The Funk Soul Brother. Check it out now.